welcome back here to Shades of Green, the program that deals with all the shades of our surrounding environment here at Campus FM 103.7, broadcast every Tuesday at 14:30 with a repeat on Fridays at 20:00. And today we shall be able to continue last week's discussion of waste management. So good day to you all. This is Vanessa once again inviting you to follow our discussion today with our guests, Dr. Paul Pudge from the faculty and Daniela Vella from WasteServe, and yourselves from campus. And I wish to start today by once again reporting some of my findings as I was surfing around the web. Well, I came across some waste management policies in Central and Eastern Europe, aside with all the links to other European waste management projects, whose overall objective of this project was to make a synthesis of waste management policies of Central and Eastern European countries. By focusing on the role of economic instruments in waste policies, an analysis of waste tariffs for various fractions of non-hazardous and hazardous waste, analyzing financial strategies for a self-financing waste sector in the context of the implementation of a full cost recovery, and polluters pays principle, by taking into account of the investment scheme's financing environmental investment needs. Setting waste management priorities and strategies in the context of the waste hierarchy implemented in the EU, waste minimization, waste prevention, reuse and recycling, composting, incineration with energy recovery, incineration without energy recovery, landfills, and analyzing of the development of recycling policies at the national level on the case study basis. And some case studies relating to what I've just said. Well, take back and recovery system for packaging and packaging waste in the Czech Republic, system Ecocom. Management of end-of-life vehicles in Poland. And setup management system for waste batteries and accumulators in Slovenia. Well, and that was a bit of information about some of the sites that I have just found. You know, it was a bit of a cloudy day and I was out there on campus trying to interview some of you. The first question that I asked was related to your opinion of the main causes of the waste problem in Malta. Now I've said too much. Let's hear what you have to say about it.
I think it basically starts from us. Basically, I have to not separate all the waste and I think then, like, at a higher level, waste management is the problem.
Maybe the fact that we're not dividing waste, like for example, plastic, glass, paper, etc. I think education too. People throw things, even when you're driving out of their car, even when they wash their houses, etc. They're ready to keep clean their environment, like their home, but then the outer environment is not important for them. I think that those are the main reasons.
Education is an issue. That's it, mainly it's education, because education involves everything, finally.
I think the biggest problem of all is the discipline what Maltese people have, you know, like, we don't care, and then afterwards we cry always. First we do something bad, and then next day, oops, like, we don't think beforehand, and then when the problem escalates and becomes a huge problem, then we start to think about the solution. So mostly the indiscipline, like, we don't care, and it's okay, and as long as my house is clean and the street isn't mine.
Everybody's putting up the garbage all together, mixing it up and just being dumped in Matap.
And now back into the studio, I welcome Dr. Pudge and Daniela here in studio with us. Good day to you.
Good day to
both
you.
Of you. Well, you have both heard what our students had to say. Any comments about them?
I think the most striking factor is that when it comes to awareness, we seem to be aware, we seem to know that there is MATUP, that we have a problem. But when it comes to what are you or what are we as individuals going to do, we seem to expect that there is someone who's going to take the initiative for us. And I think that is quite worrying because even though we need facilities to be provided by the government and by local councils, and we need schools and universities to educate, I think we should have the drive and the energy to, even ourselves as individuals, to try to do something about it, even if it's just, for now, waste reduction. It's always something. Even at one point, someone mentioned the fact that they can do something, but maybe it's very small. Everyone has to participate. But that everyone is made up of all of us. So if we all start contributing, then it will make a difference. It sounds all up in the air, but it really depends on us. If the local council organizes waste separation, if the local council introduces bring-in sites, which are the containers for separated waste, then they have to be used by someone and they have to be used correctly. Another thing is that we seem to be, when we say, when you asked about waste management, the first, initially, they immediately reacted to littering. So we go even a step back, even before thinking about separation, about reduction, and about recycling, we think about simply not throwing a paper on the floor. Well, that's fine. We can't throw papers on the floor. But that should be the most basic thing. When we talk about waste management, we're going even further. We're saying, listen, we need to manage our waste in a sustainable manner. We need to reduce our waste. We need to use waste as a resource. And I think we're still thinking of waste simply as not throwing a paper out of the car or not throwing our cigarette on the floor, but that's really the basic. We need to go further than that and, you know, think more in terms of waste management, of reduction and of waste as a resource.
Mm-hmm. To continue on what you said, I think one of the major themes that is being developed throughout these programs is the distinction between awareness and personal responsibility. And hence the work that needs to be done as regards environmental education. In the sense that, as was pointed out by Daniela, I think that our nation is roughly aware of the issues, of the main issues. On the other hand, I think this awareness tends to be simplistic in the sense. Like, in fact, one of the people interviewed clearly pointed out, he mentioned the undisciplined nature of us Maltese. But I think what really is happening here is that people tend to look at and simplify these environmental issues. Like in this case, as you clearly pointed out, Daniela, people are just classifying things as being useful and not useful. So if they are useful, they are used. If it's trash, it's unused, and they are throwing it away. Now, most of the people sort of think that their major responsibility is that of throwing this trash in a container, in a bin, and that's it. Then when it comes to separation, that's another step forward. But I think there is a clear concept which is being missed out here. The fact that I think personally, correct me if I'm wrong, Daniela, mm-hmm. that when it comes to waste management, we are looking at waste as being a resource.
Yes.
In the sense that it's not waste to be wasted, but it's the result of a series of unsustainable decisions, which rather than continuing adding insult to injury, we're trying to sort of patch up mm-hmm. what we should have not been doing in the first place. And I think this is rather missing in a lot of people who were interviewed and also people who weren't interviewed. This particular responsibility when it comes to waste mm-hmm. disposal.
Yes, I think it's we're dealing with a completely cultural change. We have been used to, you know, having extreme comfort. We have a bag which we put in front of our doors daily. And we think that that waste, once it goes out of the door, doesn't belong to us anymore. But, and even the student mentioned Matap, because with waste, obviously, everybody thinks about Matap. Matap didn't happen overnight. And we all contributed towards it. It's important, as Dr. Parch mentioned, that we focus on this responsibility. And I think it's lacking because everybody thinks that it's someone else's responsibility. And as we serve and we take care of the Project SCART campaign, we like to emphasize that Project SCART belongs to everyone. So whether you're someone involved in industry, whether you're a school, whether you're an individual, a householder, then you have a responsibility. Anyone who throws away something has a responsibility, because that thing I throw away, it's not simply because I put it in the bin. When after that bin, it's still existent, it's still going somewhere, to, in this case, to the dump. So we have to start asking questions and start putting this responsibility on ourselves. We need to say, I need to put pressure perhaps on my local council to provide these facilities. And if there are these facilities, such as the bring-in sites for separated waste, then I have to do my effort to use them. For example, I'm fascinated. One student asked, you know, we should have the containers in our houses. We expect, okay, I agree, we need facilities, we need the proper infrastructure, and that needs to be done by the authorities. But let's see what we can do. Do I really need, especially if I'm young, we're not talking about people with special needs or about the elderly. If I'm young, is it such a hassle to go to a bring-in site in my locality? Because the same students mentioned that they also have cars. So in my locality, to take my plastic bottles and my metal cans. Of course, as they mentioned, we need more education. So I agree that we need campaigns, we need information, documentaries to tell us that, for example, the waste doesn't end up at Matap if I put it in a bring-in site. Because that's another thing, we might feel disheartened that, listen, I'm doing my part, but then it's still going to end up, you know, at Matap, or it's not going to be recycled. So from Waste Surf, point of view, we need to reassure people that yes, the proper infrastructure is being developed, but that has to also, we need the support of the people, especially in this case we're talking to students and rehearsed students. We need their energy, you know, to make use of those facilities, and even to put pressure on local councils, on universities and so on, to really provide these facilities and to make use of them. It's useless to have the bring-in sites and no one making use of them.
One interesting point that I really like to point out that you reminded me of, it was we had carried out a survey on small children, asking them what happens after they take their trash out and put it in front of their doors. Most of them, yes, managed to say that the waste collectors come and it ends up in Matap. Yes, but what happens at Matap? You'll be amazed. Some of them said that it evaporates. Others said that they have caves where they put it. Others say that they literally burn it. Others say that it's packed and sent abroad. Others say that it is buried. You know, these misconceptions. Now, personally, I say, well, you could, you know, expect this from young children. But I personally feel that certain people are not terribly aware of what happens with waste, in the sense, okay, everybody knows about Matap, but the repercussions of having all this waste on our economy and also on the way we live, I think few people know about that. Otherwise, I think we'll have quite different people speaking and expressing their ideas on the Vox Pop.
Mm-hmm. But Just one other question. Okay, we're speaking a lot about education and we're speaking a lot about making people aware. But what is the intention of proceeding? How is the government, how are the organizations going to proceed in this respect? Like Tepach mentioned, no, Daniela mentioned documentaries maybe, but how to attract the general public towards this?
Yes, I mean, it's, as I said, it's a cultural change, so it really does take a lot of work, a lot of communications with different target groups. We're working a lot with schools. We have a website even for the students and for the teachers. We work with householders where we go to parishes or to local councils where we talk to the people. We feel that talking directly to the people helps us understand the way they think. It's useless, you know, just using billboards and the mass media without knowing the mentality, the way people think and the problems they encounter. For example, we have introduced bring-in sites, the four different containers for separated waste. But do people know what they are? Do people have space? So we need to encounter and discuss these problems so that we can find a better way to communicate our ideas and our suggestions for sustainable waste management to the general public. I mentioned the documentary because we are working on a documentary which shows the steps of what happens once I throw my separated separated waste in the facilities, where does the waste go? And even showing that there is there are companies in Malta who deal with this waste, recycle it. For example, we have a company that recycles white paper into tissue paper. And many people, even people who have already seen the first draft of the documentary, have said, you know, I'm amazed. I didn't know this happened in Malta. I didn't know it was possible to deal with waste as a resource. So I think that's an important step from the sides of WasteServe to provide the necessary education and the necessary infrastructure. But as I said, it's like a chain. You have to have everyone cooperating. So the authorities, the local councils, the schools provide the facilities, and the people use that those facilities.
Okay, so now we go back to the campus where we have the second question. And the second question was actually about yourselves, whether you felt that you were contributing personally to the waste problem. Let's hear what they were.
No, definitely not. Because, I mean, we're not really encouraged to do it, so everybody follows each other and nobody does anything about it. So.
I'm not doing mine for sure. I don't divide the waste. I don't throw things out of my car, out of the house. However, I don't think that I'm making such a big contribution. I just do my little bit, but the very little bit, just throwing things in the bin, and that's all.
Probably, yes. However, it doesn't depend on me. I mean, it depends on everybody. I can't just do my bit and then everybody, they don't do anything, you know? I divide things when there's the possibility to divide them, such as university and other places where there are appropriate means. And myself, I when I'm driving or something, I just keep my things in my car or in someone's car and then throw them at home, like, you know. So that I give my bit.
I do try to. I mean, okay, maybe I'm guilty of sometimes, you know, throwing a cigarette butt on the floor or maybe a wrapper, but mostly if there's a dustbin close by, I'll use it. You know, not like sometimes you see a dustbin, like, the dustbin is empty, but all around it, there's the trash. So, no, but mostly I try to.
I would wish to, if there were the accessibilities to separate waste in schedules. Some day you pick up paper and another day you pick up disposable, recyclable material, etc., etc. Yes, I would, no problem.
Okay, Daniela, you heard some of the contributions by the students on campus. How would you give any suggestions to the people who actually, well, talked to us, who have told us that they don't feel that they're actually doing their bit to contribute to waste management? What sort of suggestions would you give?
Yeah, I would give the first suggestion that we should take a look at MATAP and then everybody should pull up their socks, because it's time we all realize that even with our small contribution, we can do something. It sounds, as I said before, very abstract, very idealistic, but it does depend on us. For example, a very basic example, I go to the supermarket. Do I need a plastic bag? Even if I'm buying just some stationery, can't I just put it in my own bag? Do I need to ask for a plastic bag for each item? You know, I mean, shopkeepers in Malta readily, you know, give out plastic bags, but I can say no to that plastic bag and provide my own bag. So even that, which seems like such a small thing to do, would be already contributing to this, you know, safeguarding the environment. And this, if all of us had to do that, then we would be reducing so many plastic bags, which are finally they will have to be landfilled in many cases. So with small contributions, using rechargeable batteries. We know that batteries create a problem. Or if we do have batteries, to use the small white bins available in different outlets and to dispose of our batteries safely in those bins. To use bring-in sites. Yes, it does require an effort. I have to collect them, find a storage space, even if I live in a small flat, and then take them. And it can appear as a hassle. But once we get used to it, it becomes normal. Just as we got used to, having that bag every day picked up conveniently, we can get used to using bring-in sites and knowing that our waste is going somewhere, not just being buried and creating a mountain. Mm-hmm. So I think another thing which I think is important even as individuals is to look for information. Many of the comments were, listen, you know, they have to provide me with information. Yes, fine. But you don't just get information just in front of you. It doesn't fall from the sky. You have to read about what's happening. There's a lot happening. There's, someone mentioned even construction waste. Well, construction waste is not, since last May, is not going to Matap anymore. It's going to the quarries, to rehabilitate the quarries. So we have to ask more questions and then put pressure on the authorities, ask for more information, take initiative. I think we need this drive, which is lacking. I don't know.
Yes, I would just like to highlight something that you mentioned, because if you look at what the Vox Pop responses were and your reactions, there's a clear distinction between the two. While most of the responses were focusing on recycling and how to dispose of waste, so on and so forth, in your case, you started off with reduction. And I think that is one of the clearest messages that needs to get through, that recycling, okay, it's better than just dumping things here and there, but it's not terribly green in itself as a practice. So our major aim should be waste reduction rather than trying to deal with waste.
And one last question I asked you was that if you as individuals had any suggestions to make on how the government or any other organizations could help a person to manage waste efficiently. And this is what you said.
I think more publicity, like bringing, making people more aware of the importance of it, of the detrimental causes of not separating it. But you have to make people aware and effectively.
These waste dividers have to be in every home, not only in some places like university or on the beaches and so forth. It has to be there has to be a law about it so that people will start obeying, because people start doing things when there's a law about it or a fine, they're going to have a fine or something, or else they wouldn't take care of it.
I suggest that the government provide these separators in every home, because otherwise, obviously, people won't take the hassle of doing it. That's my suggestion.
Maybe these dividers should be placed in different locations, not just maybe in two places in the whole university, for example, because there are places where there is only a dustbin and people put everything in it, including cigarettes. And even in homes, it might be a good idea to get educated about it.
I don't know, the biggest problem, I think, is like the price of like a recycling fund would be expensive. So, like, for example, the government could subsidize. I remember the ones they tried to introduce the different colored for trash cans, for plastic, glass, but the people had to pay. And like in Malta, I have to pay. And, like, so the government has to provide these subsidized free of charge if possible. So maybe people try to, and obviously more education in schools and stuff like that.
First and foremost, much of the Matap dump is stones. Therefore, if we could manage to recycle the stones or create an artificial island, it would solve much of the problem.
Well, Dr. Patch, Daniela, could you just follow up on what the students have said very briefly?
Yes, I think from all the comments, we somehow know there is a need for more things to be done. But I think, as I said before, we need to get informed and we need to take initiative. We need to realize that we have a mountain. It's not something very pleasant to look at. It's not, we have for many years dealt with our waste in an unsustainable manner. And it's about time that we do take initiative and we do change what has been happening in this country. Things are happening. We need to get informed. We need to keep up to date and to ask for more. When it comes to waste, I think it's never enough. We're, as consumers, we're producing more and more. But it's not just that paper you throw. We need to ask even before, even when we go to the shops. We need to ask, by buying certain products, am I producing more waste? So we have to completely change our way of thinking and our way of dealing with everyday situations.
I think most of the Vox Pop interventions that we heard emphasize what Daniela mentioned at the very start of the program, that people are accustomed to comfort. But I would add that comfort at a cost. There is a cost to discomfort, and I think it all depends on how much are we willing to pay for discomfort. personally, I feel even when we hear these comments, that certain people are not terribly aware of the negative impact waste is causing. It's not just an unsightly mountain, but the negative impact on our health, mm-hmm. particularly that particular area where I remember my younger days. I used to go swim there. It's practically now a health hazard to swim in that area. So that's just one thing. Secondly, I think that easy shortcut solutions are not solutions whatsoever. For mm-hmm. example, there was mention about the islands being proposed. I think we should go a step further backwards and say, whether do we need all this construction waste being generated in the first place, rather than think up some solution which might in the short term prevent certain problems. And I would concur with what Daniela has said, that the harder issue is the best issue, mm-hmm. changing our way of life to be more sustainable.
That is great. And I will just conclude by inviting you to log on to www.projectscard.com, which is a very, very good site done up by WasteServe, and it does offer help to teachers and students alike. And that is all today from us here on Campus FM 103.7. This is Shades of Green. I thank Dr. Pacha and Daniela for all their interventions, and of course, thanks to all of you for tuning in. Till next week, same time, same frequencies. Bye-bye and take care.